These are the characters you should look for when you want to date a girl. But is this wise woman a role model for sisters only? In other words, is it a standard God sets for women, and all of the sisters must be like her? We are all quite familiar with the ladies in Proverbs, such as Lady Wisdom and her opponent, Lady Folly, as well as the infamous adulterous woman. It is striking that Proverbs gives women such a prominent position in both household and larger society. This reinforces for the church the important positions sisters are to hold in both the church and the larger culture. On top of this, Proverbs is actually addressing the importance of wisdom, the danger of wickedness and adultery to all mankind, men and women. The Bible advocates sexual purity, not only to brothers, but also to sisters as well. Feminization of wisdom does not imply that women are superior to men. Moreover, sisters, please don't be upset when reading those passages about the adulterous woman. With this in mind, let's look at the layout of Proverbs. It starts with a prologue. It persuades its readers to pursue wisdom and keep away from wickedness, from foolishness. Then, chapters 10 to 30 are collections of sayings. These are the observation and moral teaching of sages, cover almost all of the aspects of our daily life, such as parenting, marriage, friendship, time management, ethics in marketplace, listening and speaking, wealth and poverty, conflicts, social justice, etc., etc. And at the end of the book, a poem presents us this noble woman, a beautiful lady. We know nothing about her appearance, actually, but everyone can sense the beauty and elegance from her. She is attractive. She is attractive not because of how she looks, but the quality of her life, or we may say, her characters. Those characters are the summary of the book of Proverbs. The prologue reveals the charm of wisdom by personification of woman wisdom, while the last 22 verses summarize all of the teachings, sayings, and comments of Proverbs in this woman, a real person whose life is transformed by God and shaped by Proverbs. In other words, this is a person living a flourishing life. Yes, this passage is valuable for sisters, and thank you for Brother Xinming specifically prayed for the women in the world. But many of her characters are actually universal and apply not to women, but to men as well. She becomes an example for those who seek to embody the virtues of wisdom and to enjoy the fruits of wise living. Today, I'm going to present those characters in four relational categories. So first of all, this is a person who fears the Lord. Proverbs does not teach us how to worship, how to sing praise songs, how to pray, how to offer sacrifices to the Lord. In fact, it emphasizes on the value of present human life so much that one might feel that it has little to do with our spiritual life. This is not true, because Proverbs tells us that God is the source for true wisdom, and fear of the Lord is the reason for the fullness of entire our earthly living. Actually, Proverbs uses fear of the Lord, this phrase, 15 times. Fear of the Lord is not terror or anxiety or pretending to be a holy person. It is continuously developed emotions toward God and knowledge of Him from the people of Israel. They've been knowing this God from generation to generation. Their story can be traced back all the way to their father Abraham. There's joy and pain in this relationship. They experienced salvation, providence, guidance, and intimacy. At the same time, they also had times of failure and betrayal. Finally, they realized that God, the Almighty Creator, who created all beings of the universe, had already done and is willing to do many marvelous things for His people out of His loving kindness. The fear of the Lord sprouted in their hearts. It is an emotional response towards God, a combination of love, trust, reverence, and fear. The fear of the Lord opens the door of true wisdom, the art of living. It reveals our true identity. We are precious in God's eyes, yet we are corrupted by sins and keep struggling with darkness inside. And we are longing for God's mercy and help. Once we find the knowledge of God and obtain awareness of ourselves, we then can live humbly before God, rely on His instructions and guidance to carry on our life journey. The fear of the Lord is what a human life is meant to be. Proverbs says that it brings longevity, security, life, and honor. It also is the foundation of significant human relationships. Such a person is trustworthy and supportive to family members and friends, generous and kind to the needy ones in the community. The passage emphasizes husband and wife relationship. They function as a team, always put the interest of the other one before his or her own. The husband plays an important role in public. He is respected in the city gates and serves as one of the elders of the land, while the wife gave him full support, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This reminds us the scene when Eve was created. God knew that Adam needed a helper. So God caused him to fall into a deep sleep, took one of his ribs and made a woman from it. The husband is united to his wife and they become one flesh. There is also genuine love and acceptance in this family. Verse 28 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed." In our modern society, teenager is the same word for conflict between parents and children. Parents start to worry when their children are entering secondary schools. Actually, not all teenagers are rebellious. They are not little kids anymore, that's for sure. They develop the ability of critical and independent thinking. They hear what we see and observe what we do, how we treat other people. They respect the parents who live out their faith, walk in wisdom and kindness, accept them, even when they fail or disagree with the parents. When we look at these two characters, we see a life led really well. Not only that, Our passage today emphasizes on her economic activities in upbuilding the household with the work of her own hands. Several times the poem calls attention to her actions, watching over the affairs of her household, working eagerly, bringing food to the family, assigning duties to servant girls, purchasing fields, and planting vineyard, taking hold of spindle and distaff, receiving the material of her labor. Her entire family enjoyed material abundance, sufficient food and clothes. Not only that, the average household at the Bible time would have had only natural colored clothes, while this family wore scarlet clothes. She herself was clothed in fine linen and purple, which indicated royal or noble heritage. And by the way, that's not the reason why I'm wearing purple today. I just bought this new clothes this week. Apparently, this is a large and affluent family in an agrarian society. The prosperity comes from the earth and the skill and diligence of this wife and mother of the family. She produces more than she consumes. She contributes to the society and the household a lot. This is completely contrary to our consumer society, our consumer culture. The consumer uses something up, destroys or discards, and does not give back. While in the economy of nature, everything is continually used, but never used up. Industrialization has caused overconsumption, which is not sustainable. As all of us know now, climate change, pollution of the soil, the air, the ocean, are issues we really worry about, and we must deal with it. Overconsumption and consumption in advance can also make us very stressful and anxious, and even can cause some mental problems. When we enjoy the lifestyle before we can afford it, our financial situation actually is in danger. However, the production-centered life in our passage was going very well as she lives in desirable circumstances, be they natural, social, or personal. And she models the true happiness because she requires little beyond what she herself can produce. She is free of anxiety about the uncertain future. She is free to act generously toward others. Her joy and contentment is a sphere of active blessing. And this is a life living joyfully. Brothers and sisters, the poem was probably created not to honor one particularly praiseworthy woman. Now, please allow me to share some real life examples, and I'm sure a lot of brothers and sisters here today, you have some good examples in your mind also. The brother on the screen is Brother Xia, Xia Dixiong. He is in charge of the Young Adult Fellowship in the church I attended in University of Florida years ago. The lady behind him, sorry, the picture is quite old, so, and it's dark, but the lady behind him is his wife. They are all third generation Christians from China. And they are working parents at that time with two young children, and they serve God wholeheartedly. We all love to gather at their place, enjoying the yummy home-cooked food and his sharing on God's word. Every time when we had some issues about research, about making decisions on job hunting or relationship, we can always count on them for wise advices. And this brother is doing biological research in the uni, and his wife was serving as a house officer in a local hospital, though she was a medical doctor in China already. To become a real medical doctor in US, she has to go through that training again. And so one day, after working long hours, she overslept and could not go to the daycare to fetch the children. And so the teacher called the husband, and he rushed there from his lab and paid some late fee. You know, the kindergarten, the daycare, they charge by the minutes. They charge you the late fee by how late you are. But later, he told the wife, "I'm happy to pay some late fee so that you can have a good rest." Another person I can think about is Auntie Vicky. In her memorial service, actually her daughter, Fei Dan, she used this passage to summarize the life of her mother. And many friends sent messages to Uncle Sunny and their children after Auntie Vicky passed. And they shared a lot and a lot of good memories about Auntie Vicky, like how energetic and creative she was when she was serving in children ministry, and how kind she was to brothers and sisters, and even to strangers. And one sister shared that, you know, once she was in Auntie Vicky's car and they were just driving on the street, and she saw some people, and it was raining outside, and she saw some people without umbrella, and she stopped and gave the umbrella in her car to those people. And her family members shared, her brothers and sisters shared that, you know, she's very encouraging, and she's very loving. And her children also shared that she's a very loving mother. And I remember that one sister said, during a hard time, she went to Auntie Vicky's house, and they sat in the balcony of their house for a long time. Auntie Vicky comforted and consoled her. She was really touched by her love. So dear brothers and sisters, are you touched by our passage today? And are you touched by the life stories of the brothers and sisters I shared with you? Do you have the desire to live such a flourishing life? Maybe for us, the answer is not yes or no. Maybe our concern is how. Old Testament scholar Ellen Davis, in the book of commentary, in her commentary book of Proverbs, says, "Proverbs are meant to be pondered one at a time. Medieval monks spoke of chewing the words of scripture. Memorize a single saying. You can do it while taking a shower, waiting at the bus stop, or chopping the vegetables for dinner." I know some sisters here, like Sister Cerise, likes to cook. "Let it sit in the casket of your belly for a day or a week or more, returning to examine it from the different vantage points of varied experience. If you give the book of Proverbs that kind of time, then it will yield to you its wisdom. You will begin to sense the peculiar force with which the passage addresses the heroine, who positions herself to listen well. So, brothers and sisters, if after today's worship, if there's only one thing you can remember, please remember the word chewing, chew the sayings of Proverbs. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Zhang Li, for delivering us the last sermon for the Proverbs series. Now is the time for offering. So, brothers and sisters, you can actually either scan the QR code for the general offering this week, or you can drop the cash at the offertory box on the way out later. Brothers and sisters, shall we rise as we give our offertory prayers?
O creatures of our God and King, our lives and gifts to Thee we bring. May God use Thee, may God bless Thee. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we offer you this humble gift to you. Teach us to render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our lips only, but with our whole lives, turning the duties, the sorrow, and the joy of all our days into a living sacrifice to you, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated. So for the pray for one another, let us take some time to really pray for one another. Among us, there may be brothers and sisters who are struggling in life, battling with illness, feeling alienated and far away from God. You know, they may feel lonely, dejected, rejected. You know, let us pray that our Lord can use us as a community to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ and reaffirm the steadfast love of God regardless of the situation. Bring all of them back to God. So let us take some time to pray for one another.